Languages, and welcome to Book 101. Book 101 is all about the books that I read for the last 40 years. And today, I have my special guest. He's the author of the trilogy Sapien. No other than Mr. Theo Burnett.
Thanks for having me, Daniel. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back on your show.
Yes, welcome back. And I'm so excited for the finale.
As am I. It's been a blast. You've been a real joy to talk to. I've been having fun discussing these books with you.
So do you think Sapien, then There Was Darkness, is bigger, better, and bolder?
Well, so I think that the series builds to a crescendo in the final book. So I structured it in a way where everything comes to and culminates at the very end of the book, and it ends with a bang, and it's pretty satisfying. And in many ways, the main story, the subplots, along with the character, my main character, Mulati Soldat, and his cast of characters, his ensemble crew, and all of the people we come to know and love in the Sapien series along the way. It's I think it will leave my readers smiling and satisfied.
I think so, because Miss Aldrisa Thomas says, how did you come up with Sapien, Then There Was Darkness?
Yes, the great Aldrisa Thomas. Sapien, Then There Was Darkness was birthed from the of what the marriage of the first two books. My job, my goal in Sapien, Then There Was Darkness was to bring everything to a satisfying conclusion and tie up all the loose ends that I had created throughout the story and answer all of the questions. And I think I effectively did that.
I think so, because he's really satisfying. Ms. Thomas says, the battles in your Sapien, Then There Was Darkness is an epic. Where did you get the inspiration of getting all those battles?
Well, the idea was to go big and go home. As sometimes it was to show the physical prowess of the actors inside the scenes. And at other times it was to show the emotion of the characters involved. The clue, the key was to seek the balance and find which was appropriate when. And I think that knowing that was what made my battle scenes effective, because you have to get the interiority of certain characters, what's going on when they see a certain move or a certain thing is done, how it affects them. The reader wants to know how that affects them. And so that was in key moments what I chose to convey. And on a grand scale, it was bringing everything almost like the Avengers Endgame, when everybody assembled, you know, there was a moment in Sapien, Then There Was Darkness, where that occurs. And everybody has to come together. People who were rival factions up until that point had to come together for the greater good to defeat a bigger enemy, which was the Solar Alliance. And they came together to do that.
I want to see that in a big screen or in the series. That's here. Phenomenal scene. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Thomas says, every pages, there's a twist and turn in the right place. How did you do that?
The goal was to keep the readers off balance. I don't want to be predictable, and I don't want to be cliche in anything that I do. But I also want to, in retrospect, have the reader look at that and say, you know what, I probably would have reacted the same way the character did in that situation if I were on my toes. The beauty of writing is that, you know, you get to a point in a scene, you don't have to rush through it and come up with something. You don't have to shoehorn something into the moment just to get past the scene. You can put a placeholder, come back, think on it, and then come up with something that's exceptional before you move forward. And that's what I chose to do in each one of these scenes, because I wanted it to be realistic. I wanted it to be exciting, and I wanted it to be captivating. And I think that I did that.
Yes, definitely. So how did you insert those elements about traumatic fashions in the story?
Well, once again, I was going back to looking at the scene and trying to figure out in each instance where I can maximize the potential of the characters, how I can make it, you know, sensational for the reader, make the scene jump off the page. And that, you know, just looking at the characters and depending on who's in the scene together, just making them come together and just produce the magic. And once again, the big thing was patience. Look at it, look at the scene, look at what was required from the scene to move the story forward, and then do it in a grand fashion. That was my mentality about it. Fat Rodney, my. Fat Rodney is a fantastic character. He's about 7 feet tall. And ironically, he is not fat. He is not overweight. He got his, the moniker came from when he was a kid and he was portly. And a lot of times you'll notice that kids who are a little rotund when they're younger grow up to be really tall. So that's what happened. He was really fat as a kid, but he was given a name and it was a sign of disrespect then. But as he grew older, he grew taller and taller and taller and thinned out and became muscular. And up to, he got to about 7 feet tall. He chose to keep the name because it was a reminder to him of what he came from, but it's also something of an endearment, and he turned it around in his favor.
Oh, yes. Miss Thomas liked the character of Fat Rodney.
Fat Rodney is one of my favorites, too.
Oh, wow. Is it like R2-D2 and the Edison Star Wars?
Listen, these characters, you get them, they all have their own unique personalities. So in that way, yes, you cannot forget who Fat Rodney is by the time you get done reading Sapien. He plays an integral part in how things unfold. So when you get to Sapien, then there was darkness. Look for Fat Rodney. You will love that character. He is charismatic, he's bold, ostentatious, and he leaps from the pages.
What the interval time when you're writing all those three books?
Oh, how much time did it take?
Yes.
First book took me 14 months. The second book took me 10 months. The third book took over 2 years. The first book I started writing in December of 2016. The second one, I took a couple of months break after that and started writing that one. Then the third one, I started just about just before the pandemic and went through there. I ended up taking 6 months off because I injured my hands. I wasn't able to type. And, you know, and that allowed me, that was a time period also when I came back from injuring my hand that I also revised the first two books to bring it up to this, to the level, the technical level and of where the third book was, because by the time I had gotten to the third book, I had become a better writer, which most people will find that between books one and two, you grow. Between books two and three, you grow. And it's a significant growth at that.
Do you think Sapien is your best writing or?
I have gotten better with every book. The second book was better than the first. Then there was Darkness was better than the second and the first. I just completed my fourth book, which is outside of the Sapien story, called Circa 1740. And that is, I think that's written better than the Sapien series, actually. And I actually just released it. It just went live today. So I'm just, that book is, and it's out there, it's doing well, a time travel novel. But yes, I've gotten better with every book, which is what you want to do.
Yes, definitely. Sapien, then there was Darkness. Do you have a second choice of the title of your third book?
I played with the title for a while. I didn't come up with the subtitle until I was all the way through to the last chapter, and it came to me because of a scene that happened at the end. Here's an interesting story about the titles of the book. The titles of my series are an ode to a horror series called Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, and Night of the Living Dead. So I took those and went with that. So the first book being Dawn of Oblivion, the second one, Days of Deception, and the third book being Then There Was Darkness. So the dawn, day, and dark theme throughout my story mimics that of those Living Dead movies, those zombie movies from back in the, I guess, the 70s or 80s when they came out.
So are you the writer that you write the first book and then the ending?
So I guess you're asking me if I know the ending before I begin.
Yes,
I do know the ending before I begin. I'm a plotter. I have to have a destination before I sit down to write, because if I go aimlessly, I get off track, and then there's all types of loose ends to tie up. And my imagination is so active that if I did that, there's no telling. I would not be able to rein that in. A side story to that is within the first book, I did discovery write the first three chapters of that book. And in so doing, I found out that I needed to settle down and plot the rest of the story or else it was going to get away from me. And so that's what I did. That's so I learned that lesson that I'm not a pantser, I'm a plotter.
Yes. So if the Sapien trilogy will be a series or a motion picture, is there a trademark like Star Wars, the Force may be with you?
There absolutely is. That's a fantastic question. So in Sapien, the conscience, there's no higher power in Sapien. They don't believe in, they don't have religion, but what they do believe that everybody is held together or is responsible or accountable to their own conscience. So for instance, if you and I were conversing and we were about to leave one another, and I would say to you, Daniel, listen to your conscience. And you would say, I will, and let your conscience lead the way. That would be the call and response. So the call is listen to your conscience, and the response is let your conscience lead the way. And that's a common theme throughout the story.
Wow. Very well said. According to Mr. Steve Novak, a great finisher, how do you explain that?
Yes. So that's just me being well aware of, you know, how trilogies work. How, you know, one of the things that I was most worried about with this series is getting the second book right. And then, so you have, I wanted to follow the George Lucas model to that thing. In the beginning, Empire Strikes Back was the most popular movie of the trilogy. Then we came to Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi is beloved, but I think that he could have done it better. You know, in that, you know, there's just some things that I think if I were him, I think that even he wished that he had a chance to do over, he would do him over. So looking at that without any time constraints, once again, once you're writing, the only time constraints you have are the ones you put on yourself. So I figured that if I took my time and made, my goal was to make the third book as strong or stronger than the other ones. And I think I succeeded in making it stronger. And that I took my time. As a result, the third book is longer because it had to answer all of the questions that were posed in books one and two. And so I did that and also took the time to introduce new characters and put some action sequences and pull some things in, put some things in that are going to make you cry, some things that are going to make you laugh, and things that are going to make you angry, and some things that are going to make you smile by the time it's all said and done.
So, in your opinion, Sapien, Then There Was a Darkness, what is missing in the book?
In Sapien, Then There Was Darkness, what is missing? I would like to have incorporated the 144 from planet Alkebulon into the story a little bit more. But I think that I was able to piece them into the mix just enough to make their arrival when they came to the pages appreciate it. But I would like to have seen them a little more. But the story was about Mulati Soldat and the crew of the Whisper, and that was the focus. And I think, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I would still tell the story through the same lens, through the same characters, but I would like to have seen the 144 on the pages a little bit more.
Yes, very well said. Mr. Burnett, one of your readers says, a movie material excellent trilogy.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know, the thing about this is when I wrote this, because I was not a big reader before I started writing. I am an avid reader now, but I wasn't a big reader before I started writing. So all of my consumption of this media was through movies. And so the scenes in my head would play out like a movie before I jotted them down, before I archived them on my outline and stuff like that. And so what I would do then is try to paint the picture as vividly as possible from the way that I visualized it in my head and deliver that to the reader. And so in so doing, one of the things, especially in the first book, I would lie in bed at night and just play it over my head, and the scenes would unfurl in a continuous manner, just like a movie. And so I tried to continue that theme, and I think it just got better throughout the series.
What do you think the difference of excellent and mind-blowing.
Those are I was going to say those are excellent adjectives. So excellent means that it's at the ultimate of what it could be, and mind-blowing means that it takes you in a place that you didn't expect to go. And that's the way I look at that. So there are two different things, but they're both complementary, and I appreciate whoever said that.
Yes, people, let's read Satan, Then There Was Darkness. Not all the trilogy, all the three books. Let's read it. Shout out to the people listening again in Canada. Thank you so much for listening. I'm 50.6 on Apple chart. Estonia 95.5, Ghana at 29.9, Lebanon at 40.1, Pakistan at 101.4, Romania at 30.5, Trinidad and Tobago 70.8, United Republic of Tanzania 92.3, and Uganda at 104. Thank you so much for supporting this podcast, because this podcast is created to empower writers all over the world like Mr. Theo Burnett.
Wow, you're all over the place. That's great. That's awesome.
Yes, thank you for having us. Where is Mr. Theo Burnett after 10 years?
Oh, after 10 years, I hope to have completed. Let's see, I've written 4 books now. 10 years, I would like to have written at least 8 more books. I think that would be a good measurement of success for me. If I continue to improve at the level I've improved, I think I should be a writer of some renown by that time. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I still see the ways that I need to improve, but I think that eight more books would give me some gravitas in this industry, I think.
Yes. So what are the genre of the book?
Oh, so Sapien, Then There Was Darkness, and the whole Sapien series is a space opera, falls under the commercial genre of science fiction. The content genre of space opera, action, adventure, and all those things combined. And so it has some thriller elements into it as well, but mainly space opera, action, and adventure.
Oh, yes, definitely. Do you think in the future you can combine sci-fi, drama, and horror?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, it's funny that you say that, because I have a story that I'm going to write 2 books from now that I already have a summary written for it that's going to be just that. And it's going to have some paranormal elements into it as well. So I'm looking forward to that, to writing that story. But yeah, that's I'm writing one, then I have another one after that. So that's 2 books from now that I'll be digging into that story.
So people, let's support Mr. Burnett, because more books to come.
Absolutely.
Yes. So people listening on my Book 101 review, I'm inviting you to listen to my other podcast, Food 101. It's on my 3rd season with Chef Alessandro, who is one of the 5-star executive chefs in downtown Toronto. So please do check Food 101. So, Mr. Burnett, what else you can say about Sapien, Then There Was Darkness?
Sapien, Then There Was Darkness is top shelf space opera material. It's action packed. It's fun. It's comedy. It has some comedic elements. It's not comedy. It has some comedic elements in it. Has adorable, lovable characters. There's Yakara Killen and Osiris Mourning. And those are 2 17-year-old orphans that you're just going to fall in love with when you read this story. They are just adorable, but they are dangerous. And they tag along with Mulati Soldat, and they get some things done in a way that will just blow your mind, to piggyback on the adjective that somebody else used. But yeah, the story is outstanding. You're going to love it.
So if you give adjectives of Sapien, Then There Was Darkness, what are they?
The objective of Sapien, Then There Was Darkness was to bring the series to a satisfactory conclusion, to close out the original plot that I had established for the story, and it effectively did that. That was the main objective. The objective was to make the readers be more familiar with the cast of characters that I created, fall more in love with them, to desire to see them more on the pages, to create a demand for their own personal stories, which I do want to write in the future. They're gonna be sapien-sized stories, could be novellas, short stories, and novelettes. All of those things revolving around the Sapien, original Sapien series, just like Star Wars has all those different stories that branch away from it. Sapien, the Sapien series would do the same
thing. What are the elements of the Sapien trilogy that people like best?
Oh, people like the uniqueness of it. They like the action. People like the imagination of it. And people like the intrigue, the political discourse, and the organizations that I established, and not to mention the tech, all the gadgets that I created in Sapien. There's things that you just haven't seen in our society that, you know, you'll see that technique, those technical things in Sapien, and those are also wow worthy. They're imaginative. They blow your mind. So there's a lot to unpack in Sapien. Then there was darkness.
Yes, people, let's support Mr. Theo Burnett, because Sapien is one of a kind and phenomenal sci-fi. Let's do the recap of your Sapien trilogy.
In Dawn of Oblivion, we have an introduction of our crew of the Whisper: Mulati Soldat, Bjorn Matheson, Beth Kirby, Sampa Yambasu, Cordo Canales, Francois LaRue. And we watch them navigate their way through all types of danger, where they get recruited for this mission that they take on. And then there was, in Days of Deception, they are full-fledged into the mission, are hell-bent on getting it done at all costs. They run into some obstacles. The Bastillians become a problem for the politicians of the Solar Alliance in the Supreme Council. And then there was darkness. Everything comes to a head. Everything is out in the open. Everything's exposed. Everybody knows who's who. Alliances and allegiances are exposed. And we have a big battle at the end, which all good science fiction and good space opera should have. And it ends with a bang. And then in the denouement, there's a satisfactory ending, and the epilogue is even more satisfactory. You're going to love the story.
Yes, people, support Mr. Theo Burnett.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the original series alone. As I mentioned before in an earlier podcast, I think it's important that the readers, my readers from my other stories, are able to see where I have grown as an author, a writer. However, what I will do to enhance it is create interesting stories around it. That's where those novellas and novelettes and short stories are going to come into play, when I'm going to have stories about different characters to bolster the Sapien universe. And I think all of those are going to come together to create something expansive, something great, and something that's going to, hopefully I will get a cult following. That would be my dream. You know, people that follow the series and will come up to me and tell me what's canon in my own story. I want to hear all of that. I want to hear all about the lore. I want to hear everything. So that's my goal. That's my dream.
Yes, that'd be awesome. If you describe the three books, what are they?
They're action-packed. If I had to go through them individually, the first book is a classic setup book. The second book is a classic continuation book. And the third book is a classic big bang. And they all do their job, and they do it effectively. My goal was to make them jump over the hurdles that normally those books at their level encounter. The first book is normally one of exposition, where it's a lot of world building, a lot of setup, and it's usually boring. So my goal in that book was to make it exciting and have so many things happen that you forget that you are basically getting just a bunch of backstory and a bunch of setup for the upcoming books. The second book, there's usually a lull in a sequel to something, and you usually don't get much of a plot. So that's why I brought the Bastillians in and made them be exciting in their role in the major subplot of that story. And it carried the day. In the third book, I brought everything together. I didn't want to just be checking boxes in there and make it look like I was just checking boxes. I wanted there to be intrigue. I wanted there to be drama and all of that stuff. So I did that, and I went above and beyond with those things in mind. So my readers wouldn't have this roll your eyes moment or passages where they're rolling their eyes and say, okay, this is cliche, this I saw that coming, or whatever. And I think, you know, being conscious of those things helped me to deliver a story in a unique way that was satisfactory to everybody who's read it thus far. Everybody who's stuck through the story to the end have found it to be satisfying.
So if you read all the three books, what are the best highlights?
Oh, wow. So in book one, the best highlight in Dawn of Oblivion, that would be the battle at the Grand Amphitheater to continue to the Hidden Bastille. Book two would be everything involved with the Bastillians up until the moment where they are confronted by the Solar Alliance. Book three, I guess the major moment of that story would be the climax of the story where everything comes together and all parties are involved. Fat Rodney does his thing. Mulatti Soldat does his thing. Don Esslinger does his thing. And the DOD do their thing. And everybody comes together and it's amazing and it's grand. And the 144 are involved and it's just epic.
Yes, I think one of your readers said an epic. Wow.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially the battles. So all the trilogy books, Sapien, what elements did you put in the story that your reader glued every pages?
The dialogue was great. You know, the interactions with the characters, you know, the main thing was I established the personalities of the characters and I didn't stray from them, their intelligence level, their wit, it remained consistent. And that was the glue. So it made the readers become enamored with those particular individuals. And you wanted to, you cared about them. You wanted to see what was going on with them. And you wanted to see, you couldn't wait to see certain individuals on a page. My favorite character in the whole entire series is Cordo Canales. He's like four feet, 6 inches tall. He's a expert knife thrower, knife user. And he's an excellent marksman. And he's repugnant. He's a chain smoker, has a foul mouth, but he's an endearing character. And I just love them.
So where did you get Fat Rodney as your influence?
Fat Rodney came about because my story, did, you know, based on where it was, there was nobody who embodied the spirit of African-Americans in this story the way he does. Mulatti Soldat is a combination of two things that are not quite what African-Americans represent, you know, from where his origin story. So Fat Rodney was the one individual. He was an ode to, he was a homage to, you know, the people I grew up around, the braggadocio mentality, the way he presented himself, the swagger, all that stuff is in Fat Rodney. And so I wanted to have somebody who represented that particular element of Black people, specifically Black men, in my story, because that was absent up to that point.
So for all the three books, Sapien trilogy, do you think which book there's a missing that you want to insert more in terms of characters, in terms of twists and turns? Which book do you want to add more?
I would say neither of them, because I think I did enough for each one. Matter of fact, I think I did more than enough for each one. There are over 40 named characters in the Sapien series. And, you know, they're not all introduced in one book, of course. That would be too much to remember. But the stories, all the twists and turns, everything happens all the events happen when they're supposed to happen. With the amount of intrigue, with the amount of tension, suspense, and all the other stuff that they're supposed to have. So I'm pretty happy with the way I delivered it. And I don't think that there's much missing in that way.
Okay, very well said. Well, which book you gonna connect to the prequel?
So spoiler alert. So here's, I do plan to pin a few stories. I wanna pin a story about Mulatti Soldat, the main character. I think he deserves his own story, and that may be a novella. I also want to pen a story about the Bastillians, you know, to chronicle what they actually did, the crime spree that they went on between books one and two, because all of that occurred off the pages. There's a couple of other stories that I'm toying with creating, but I have to see, because it goes off into different tangents, but it's all related to the Sapien universe.
So where do people buy your books?
Amazon. That's right. If you go to Amazon.com, and they're all there, the ebooks and the paperbacks. I wanted to do hardcovers, but they seem to be a little bit harder to do, and I haven't done any for any of the books that I have. But yes, go to Amazon, search either T.O. Burnett and have them come up, or either search the books individually, Sapien, Then There Was Darkness, Sapien, Days of Deception, and Sapien, Dawn of Oblivion, or my newest one, circa 1740, and you can get them all there.
Something from Mr. T.O. Burnett, something good that we need to support. Because people, as he said, he will write 8 more books. So watch out for that.
At least 8, if I'm lucky. I hope to get that many out.
In the future, can you write love story?
Absolutely not. They would be the worst thing you've ever read if I wrote a love story. Listen, my hat's off to people who write romance. I just can't do it. I can't write love scenes. I can't write any of it. I'm no good at it.
But in The Sapien, there's a love story in it, right?
There is. And, there is.
How you come up with a love story?
Well, the love story came up, it was inevitable to write because it was a proximity issue with Mulati Soldat and his love interest of the story. And because of the tension between them, it had to be alleviated some type of way. And that's a thread that I'll leave as a mystery to the people who are listening to the podcast to let them see how that unfolds, because it has some ramifications in the story. So I don't want to spoil that for them.
So do you think Sapien Trilogy are one of the best sci-fi novel?
It's the greatest story ever written.
Yes. I agree with you. Because according to your readers, there's a lot of good comments, and let's support Mr. T.O. Burnett, because Sapien Trilogy is one of a kind. Again, Mr. Burnett, invite our readers and listeners to buy your books.
Yes, go to Amazon, pick it up. Sapien Dawn of Oblivion, Sapien Then There Was Darkness, Sapien Days of Deception, circa 1740. Also, follow me on Twitter at Author T.O. Burnett. And I'm also on Mastodon under the same label, under the same tagline, same name. So just look me up on social media. I'm there. I'm all over the place. Interact with me and I will interact with you.
Mr. Burnett, do you think in the future you will go to traditional publishing?
I don't think so. They'd have to come to me with a pretty handsome offer for me to get away from indie publishing, because I don't want to relinquish that much control over my process, over my work, and plus, given the fact that they asked you to do the same amount of work that you're doing already, so I might as well do it for myself. I'm learning the aspects of marketing. I'm getting better with that, and so that's my goal. Now, if somehow I max out and it becomes a point, they would really have to come to me. I will never seek out traditional publishing. I just can't see myself begging someone to take my work.
People out there want to publish their story. Can you give up 5 benefits of being an indie publisher?
Oh, wow. So 5 benefits of being an indie publisher. Number 1 is you have creative control. Number 2, you have financial control. Number 3, the time frames are the ones that you establish. Number 4, there's no external stress from anybody else, who may be in charge of what you're doing. And number 5, you get to control your image of what you put out. And those are the things that are vital to me.
Very well said. So once again, Mr. Burnett, encourage all the people, all the writers all over the world, to publish their stories.
Yes, absolutely. Dig into your craft. If you have a story within you, don't let it leave here without you having told it. Get it out. Share your gift with the world. We want to read it. We want to read it. Everybody has a story with them and within them, and the people who know that they have a story within them, please get to somewhere, write it down. Get it out, give it to the rest of the world. There's no competition. There's room for all of us. Everybody makes everybody else better. That's the beauty of writing.
So thank you so much, Mr. Burnett.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
More to come, people. See you soon.